Today we're going to begin our study on learning and living in the sure way of the Lord. Our beginning scripture is Psalms chapter 95. And this whole psalm is a clear call to worship. And I'd like to just take a moment and read it to you. The key verse is verse 10. Psalms 95, church. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. And in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Verse 6, the call. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Look at verse 7. For he is our God. Last week we said, he is your help. He is your refuge in Psalm 63 and Psalm 62. You have to understand, people take comfort in what God does for them. Not so much in the comfort of knowing him and recognizing the truth that he is yours. Yes, enjoying the works of his hands, the benefits of his hands, the comforts of his grace, but neglecting the person of Christ. That is a tragedy for that's personal injury to God. It's personal injury to God. So you have to recognize that he is your God. And according to Psalms 95:7, we are the people of his pasture. It says, and the sheep of his hand. See, that's a permanent relationship. That's not something that a whim or the different direction of the sun or a cloud is going to change or circumstance. No, you are dealing with the Creator who is greater than anything you will ever experience. Knowing that God is greater than your greatest fears, greater than your biggest problem, greater than your greatest doubt, you need to understand that he is the rock who cannot be moved, who has power to move every mountain for you. Again, we're back to knowing the sure foundations of your salvation. That's the reason it teaches us, we learned earlier, not to neglect such a great salvation. And that it should be high, revered in your heart. Well, if the salvation is something to be revealed, how about the Savior? You see? In other words, we can get so wrapped up in what God does for us that we forget our God. There's a danger there. And that's not the sure way of the Lord. The sure way of the Lord is to have put confidence in the Lord our God, our Maker. To put confidence in the Lord our God, our Savior. To put confidence in the Lord our God, our Peacemaker. To put confidence in the Lord our God, our Waymaker. See, there's a way to walk with God. And he teaches us, and you're going to hear it, that his ways are beyond your ways.
Amen.
But there is the way of the saints. Here it is. It says, for we are his, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And there's an encouragement here. Listen to the encouragement in verse 7b. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your hearts as in the day, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me. They saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. Listen to verse 95:10b. And they do not know my ways. They do not know my ways. The same one thing I'm sure of, and you and I need to be confident of this, that God is great. And his love is immeasurable for you. And an example of his love is portrayed on the cross. He loves you that much that he's willing to take your punishment so that you can come back to him.
Amen.
How much more then should we remain in him now with full confidence, with a rest of an assurance of his great love that no man can match and no man could ever take away? There should be holy, holy, holy rest for your soul. He loves you. And he's never going to leave you, according to Romans 8, 37, 38, and 39. He will never leave you.
Amen.
So, with that said, we need to understand, and there's an encouragement here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. You know, just the activities of life, they steal the time in which you could softly meditate on these truths. That's the reason the study of the Word is so essential to godly living. Because the godly living, the study of the Word, increases your reverent awe of the Lord who gave the promises, who spoke the Word, who created the Bible. And so here it is in the verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Now, Proverbs is referring to wisdom. And the Bible teaches us what wisdom is. The Bible says in Job chapter 28, verse 28, turn there with me. It says, in fact, it says, this is wisdom. In Job 28, 28. He said, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.
Amen.
You see the beauty of that? It says, behold, the reverential awe of the Lord, that is wisdom. Why is that so important? Because the reverential awe of the Lord will cause you to walk circumspectly before God.
Amen.
It will cause you to fear to sin. Once the fear to sin is gone, you're on a slippery road to much trouble. Much trouble comes when that's gone.
Amen.
Frequently. Because not only are we troubling the Lord, but he's troubling us. He's resisting the proud. And if you drill down on pride, the core of it is self-righteousness. Considering your way acceptable before a holy God, not considering the righteousness of Christ and he being the only way to be at peace with God. In other words, making your way of life righteous in your own eyes, shunning the cross, the Christ, the crucifixion, the redemption, but in your own words declaring yourself in good standing. That, my beloved, is self-righteousness. And that is pride. And when that is in a man's life, the fear of the Lord is gone. And there he goes down the slippery slope of trouble and suffering. So there is a way of the Lord, and in this passage here in Psalms chapter 119, it teaches us that we can walk and work with God. We can walk with Him and we can work with Him. See, there is a holy covenant, a holy partnership that is established for the believing church. See, the Lord is a way maker. He has desires and plans that position a child of His to ambassador His great name, to carry out His great exploits, to carry on the works of mercy and mission. And He promises to help us in this work. Now, the partnership that I'm referring to is very essential for successful living. Because in order to walk with God, you must be completely dependent on Him.
Amen.
Through belief, prayer, promise, presence, and nevertheless, faithful service. Belief, prayer, promise, presence, and nevertheless, faithful service. This partnership that I'm referring to is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. I want you to see it, and I want you to, if you're not audibly or prayerfully recognizing this partnership, studying about this partnership, it's something that will enhance your walk with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Are you there with me? So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, the key partnership. Do you see it there? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And it says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. It says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. It goes on, talking about this holy partnership. Verse 16, do you see it there? Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So we see that this provision of this holy partnership is clearly outlined, and there is a way in which we are to walk with the Lord, to walk with Him. And did it not say that Noah walked with the Lord?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. That Noah, it says that he was perfect in righteousness, and that he walked with the Lord, and that he was considered a humble man. Yes?
Yes.
And so what is this humility? Is not humility it's a way of life that where you are constantly deferring by decision to choose His will, suppressing and denying your will and your preeminence over the use of God's temple, which you are. In other words, deferring by decision to choose His will, suppressing the volition of your will to choose your own way. It's choosing to cooperate with the way of the saints, the way of the Lord. Jesus said Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." So what is it to be humble? It means that you choose Christ. Amen. It means that you choose His ways. It means that you follow Him with discipline. That you follow Him with discipline. And a disciplined life. That's the reason a disciple must be discerning with his time. There are many things that will consume your time. Many things that will just devour your time. Are all of them productive? And if you evaluated the 168 hours that God gives you, how much of that time do you consider that God would consider productive to His kingdom? Time is a precious gift. And the stewardship of it is really an entrustment of grace in its various forms. In other words, you're in a state of grace. God has made you a temple. You are privileged to carry His name for a season. You say, define the season. It's called a lifetime. A portion of your lifetime was used, wasted, when you were not with the Lord wholeheartedly. But now it is not so with you. Romans 5:16, it teaches us that at one time we did not consider Christ in such a manner. But now we do. We revere Christ. We revere His word. We choose by decision, with free will, to choose to follow Him. In this way, you're walking in the way of the Lord. You're walking with Christ. In the same way that Noah walked with God, we're walking with Christ. It's by decision. You must choose faith and hope as guides for the use of your time. Time is precious. It is so precious. Time is so valuable. If you don't believe me, talk to an attorney for 15 minutes and wait in your mailbox. Yeah, the minute you pick up the phone, a timer starts. And the minute you hang up, it clicks off and shoots you a bill. Time is precious. The attorneys get it. How much more then is the time in which you have been given on earth precious to the Lord? The question is, in your walk and in your work with the Lord, are you walking circumspectly, utilizing every opportunity to benefit the King and the kingdom? This is crucial. It's a discipline. It's something you learn to do. It's something that you value to do. And I've been trained. I have got two real good friends that are what I would consider weathered businessmen, and even with me, they're monitoring their time with me. They monitor their discussion with me. And when I come to the end of the time that they have already predetermined that they could give me, they say, "Brother Scott, I love you, but I got to go." Literally, they're watching their time. Saints, Satan understands this. That we have a limited number of days. And the full length of your life, if you live to be 120 years old, according to the scripture, is but a vapor. Yes. Turn with me to Psalms 39. Are you there with me? Psalms 39 in the New King James Version. It says, "I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me, while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. The brevity of life has got to be in the equation on how you spend your time in walking with the Lord. How? And the easiest way to do that is very practical. Examine the 168 hours that you have. And then with an earnest, transparent heart, say, how much of that time is actually benefiting another or the king and his kingdom? How much? So with that said, there's a passage here in Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 119 is just so big, so vast, and so rich. Saints, there is a way called the saints, the way of the saints. Here, as we read in Psalms 119, you're going to glean from the psalmist. Are you there with me? Psalms 119, beginning in verse 1, reading down to verse 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. As I said, there's a way in which we have the privilege to walk with God. And the way is defined. It is not haphazard. It is not unknown. It is declared. We must study it in order to understand the way. See, if we walk amiss, it's because we're not willing to look. If we walk in circles, it's because we're refusing to look at the map. We are not without help. Remember, there is a holy covenant partnership that is established. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Amen. He will guide you. Amen. I got a phone call this morning, or yesterday evening, from our beloved brother in the Lord, Terry Miller. He said, Pastor, do you have a minute? I said, sure. He said, sir, I just want you to know that I am experiencing something I've never experienced in all of my life. My heart was just trembling. I thought, something's happened, and he's in distress. But that was just the opposite, was the truth. He said, I am getting almost second by second counsel from the Lord. And the reason it's happening is because I am asking for it. It struck me. He goes, I was up here. He was working on something. He didn't have any help. He was trying to put something together for the 4th of July. And he didn't know how to do it. And he goes, I just became like a child. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Will you please show me? Would you please help me? And he said, then I read the instructions again. And it was understandable. Now, that's a childlike example of being childlike, not childish. In other words, complete dependency on God through belief, prayer, presence, and promise, right? Nevertheless, faithful service. So with that said, there is a way in which we can find help in our times of need, and it's through asking. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of the heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. See, in verse 9 and 10, it goes on. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the, here it is, the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. A way to walk with the Lord. A way to ensure that you will not stumble in the path of the sinner. This assures that you are going to, by decision, choose the firm, peaceful path that's been predestined for you to walk on. See, in Isaiah 30, verse 15, and Psalms 23, God wants you rested in His green pastures. He wants the burden of your protection and provision on Him. But He is earnestly expecting our loving cooperation with gladness of heart, joyfully serving Him, walking with Him, and working with Him. The way of the Lord. And you can express that desire to know His way. God will teach you. He will teach you if you'll just earnestly, like a small child, ask Him to show you His way for you. We're all different. We all have different tools in our toolbox. The colors that we like are all different. Our countenance, all different. Our ways, all different. But there is a specific pre-planned good work that all of us have been assigned to, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And chapter 2 will never be revealed until you desire Him more than His help, until you desire Him more than His hand, until you desire Him more than ministry for Him. So let me say that last one. You have to desire Him more than ministry for Him. He's above all. Amen. He is jealous, and He will take nothing less than your very best. God wants your very best. And He wants you to walk and to talk and to work with Him and for Him. And I have so much more, but the children are back, and I'm at 28 minutes, so I'm going to stop here. But I pray that you've been encouraged with these few scriptures that will just help you to stay on fire, but in the way. Thanks for letting me share.